What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
And I've been in every episode so far. No reason to break my streak now, I guess.
At this point, you should really stick around.
At this point, I should stick around. I'll let you know right off the gate that if you're like, wow, this guy, he's been in every episode. He's dedicated and he should be the host. If you want Jazzy Jay to be the host, all you gotta do is head over to patreon.com/popcornculture and select Jazzy J tier. That's all you gotta do.
If enough people
do that, and we can swing the votes, because your vote, whoever you sign up for, that counts as your vote. So there you go.
It's as easy as that. What a pitch.
There you go.
You can get that lovely drive time radio J voice.
Jazzy J.
I think you should just start an entirely separate podcast where you just do nothing but like you're just like and now we'll hear that hit song from Miley Cyrus. So like right. You just like cut to nothing because cuts you obviously nothing. Can't
right.
use the
can't
Miley Cyrus
it.
Song.
Right. It's just like it's as if I do host a radio show and you can just listen to the Jazzy J files, but none of the music that's played on the radio.
Yeah. You know, want to know one of my all-time favorite things though, speaking of Miley Cyrus, is this like,
Wrecking Balls.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. What an emotional song. I also, for the longest time, thought it said, I came in like a rainbow, not wrecking ball. I came in like a rainbow.
Oh, man. That's such a different vibe.
It is. It's a very
like a rainbow. I'm just like that bright spot after the storm.
That's the thing. I felt like it was supposed to be like a juxtaposition of like tone versus like sentiment, you know?
Right. Like you had a bad day. I came in like a rainbow.
Yeah. I came in like a rainbow and I made it better.
I made it better, man. I need to
listen to the context of songs more. No, but I think it's always interesting to like watch as you'll have an artist who comes on the scene and sort of like falls into that category of non-artistic pop music. So I don't know if we talked about this on the pop itself recently or not, but like I've always been curious about like the sentiment towards like the bands like Imagine Dragons or Nickelback,
mm-hmm.
where it's sort of like it seems like at some point in time it becomes like universally just known that they're like the punching bag of like all pop music, but then at the same time it's like if they came to your hometown, it's like chances are they have an entirely sold out crowd and nothing but like top 40 hits over and over and over again. It's
amazing to me how, yeah, stuff like that. It's like there's this constant phenomenon in the world of like really loud negativity, which is just like all of the which like a lot of people hear, but like all of the like the more positive people just sort of like ignore at the same time.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, yeah, like because you're exactly right, where like they're Nickelback has become like it is sort of like this weird punching bag for some reason, but at the same rate they've won like, you know, over 10 Grammys and stuff. Like they're extremely good at what they do. Tons of people absolutely love them, and yet for some reason there's this like known opinion that like, you like Nickelback? No thanks. And it's like, but like if you're the one thinking that, like you're clearly like, you know that it's an opinion to have and that it's like a widespread one, but clearly it's like it's just not there because they're succeeding despite it.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think is always really like interesting about it as well, because like, especially in a world, you know, like where we have fairly high standards and expectations for how we want people to like act and behave both professionally and like sort of like privately, like behind the curtain as well. It's like, and I mean, this is like one of those conversations where I feel like there's always the possibility for it to like age poorly or something like that, or I just simply don't know enough about the situation, but like for all the reasons for someone who are or a group of people who have achieved mass fame to otherwise have like their name tarnished in some capacity, at least as far as I know, disclaimer offered, it's not attached to anything like that. Like it's not like, oh, but they're like really rude to their fans or something like that, and it sort of like becomes this like, it's like, yeah, like, you know, they're super famous and great, but like, you know, they think they're like above, you know, signing an autograph,
right,
or something like that, you know.
No, it seems like, yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, so if there's something I'm missing about the Nickelback hate, let me know. As far as I know, it's just that people, it's something to do with the music itself.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I think that largely what I've heard is that like, where the criticisms come from is that like having diversity of sound to your respective albums is sort of like what people are looking for. So like the closest like non-subjective criticism I've heard of the band or of the sound is largely that like you could listen to a whole record and not name one song from a different song because all the songs just sound like the same as the other songs.
Oh, I see.
And that's like the type of thing where it's like I personally don't judge music in that way.
Right.
And like I don't find myself like thrown off by this particular sentiment. However, once somebody pointed it out, I was like, that is fair. You can always recognize a song from this band.
Sure.
Like it is always like very apparent, like, oh, this has got like that feel, that vibe, that like whatever. And there's always that like question too, as to, like whether or not the artist is attempting to accomplish something in their field. So like, you know, are they like almost like inventing, and again this is like where we know nothing seemingly about music, but like are they like inventing like new riffs of some kind, or like putting together sounds in a way that like no one else has ever thought to try before, and therefore it's like, hey, that's different, that works, how about that, can't believe no one's ever thought of it before. But even that's like, in my mind, this is like one of those things where it's like, there are, it's like, this can't possibly be true, but I wonder how true it is like, how many original thoughts are there left to be had? Like if you take away the disclaimer that that thought needs to be like well-known or public or famous or even spoken aloud,
right?
You know, it's like you could have like invented, like, for example, I think you've always given the, like, what I know exactly what your $1 billion idea was once upon a time related to mail.
Oh yeah, flat rate shipping.
Yeah,
if it fits the chips.
Jay thought of this first.
I was 10, you know.
Exactly. So this is the thing though, is that like a lot of times I think it's like it doesn't even come down to like who has the best idea. It comes down to who has the best execution of a particular, mm-hmm. you know, concept. So it's right. Like anybody who's achieving something. Chipotle didn't make the first burrito. They didn't invent the burrito.
Right. Yeah.
However, no. They're probably known as like one of the most iconic, you know, purveyors of burritos. Of
burritos, yeah. Right. They're like, you know what? We're going to send to do Wumbo burritos.
Exactly.
And you can just do it like Subway style.
Right.
Which is so funny to me that any restaurant where you like go down the line and point at the ingredients you want in your thing is like, oh, it's like Subway. Like, I feel like that's how people always describe it. It's like, yeah, it's Chipotle. It's like Subway, but burritos. Or it's like, yeah, what's the other one? What's the pizza place that does this? We have one here and I've never been.
We have a pizza place that does this?
Yeah, we have a pizza place.
Is it called like Blaze or something?
Yes, it's Blaze Pizza.
Okay, I've never been there either.
Yeah, me neither. But how it's been described to me is it's basically Subway but pizza.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to bet, I'd be willing to make the wager that Subway did not invent the line technique.
Oh, I don't know. I bet that I've been under the impression they were the first to do this, like go down the line and do the thing.
I don't know.
I want this on the sandwich, that on the sandwich. Not that this is the thing now, is that when you say Subway but that, like, I feel like if you say it now, it feels like, oh, it's like Subway, but burritos, that sounds terrible. But it's like, no, all I'm describing is the process at Subway, not the food itself.
Right, right. Like, yeah. Like the Subway refers to like the methodology of ordering your food,
right?
Not to the assumed quality.
Yeah, not
to
the assumed
food.
Quality, which, yeah. My goodness, a Subway. When we were growing up, Subway was like a phenomenon.
It did feel, you know? Like, it did feel like there was a period of time where it was almost like, you know how like lots of like influencers very frequently like in their photos will be holding like a Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
And it's almost like one of the like accessories that they'll have like in the photo. It's sort of like, here, check out today's outfit and my cool Starbucks drink. You know, it almost felt like at one point in time, like that could be the similar, like, you know, like it would be like cool to have like your little Subway bag.
Oh,
or
my God.
Like, I can, that,
yeah,
you know?
That's interesting. Yeah. Like if influencers were what they were like today, but in like the early 2000s, would, how does that change Subway?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, that seems like a whole like series you could go into. It's just like influencers, if they existed during this era. Instead.
Boy, you know what's funny is that we have been influencers for Subway before.
That's true. We did. We had one of the most bonkers brand deals ever that sort of like that came about where we got a call from our talent manager at the time, and he was sort of like, hey, do you guys like music? And, you know, we were sort of like,
like, we've heard it.
I've heard music. I mean, I know Nickelback. So, and, you know, he's like, all right, well, there's this music festival in Delaware called Music Festival. And they were like, Subway's looking for, like, you know, people to go out and be like the person on the ground or whatever. And so, like, we went out and we did some hardcore promoting for some Subway.
They were trying to launch Raps at the time.
Raps.
And I want to, like, Yeah, this was like one of those situations where, like, even though normally when you go to a subway, it's in like a, you know, an actual building.
Mm-hmm.
This was like subway in a tent outside, and it was probably the best subway I've ever had.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because it was like, you know, like this is like the promotion subway. Like this is the everything has to be done right subway.
Like you, any of these you could put in the commercial.
Exactly.
You
know, right. Like, everything like, needs to like look
photo
perfect.
Ready. Yeah.
We're busted out. We were being like really nicely curated wraps and stuff. And so I remember there's this awesome picture of me and you and Beth and Alice at the event where they had this cool, like, 360 camera that did this like cool effect. Anyway, all that to say that the only time that I go to Subway now is when it is literally the only option, which basically means when I'm leaving Snowshoe.
The ski resort.
The ski
resort. There is exactly one restaurant and it's Snowshoe. Yes. Not Snowshoe, but it's Subway.
Yeah, after you've left the mountain, you are going to pass one restaurant for about 2 hours and you're starving because you've been skiing all day, and that restaurant is a Subway.
Back a track to Nickelback. Nice, nailed it. Okay, so maybe I'm torn right now because I have two different directions that I feel like I could take this topic, because on the one hand, I originally made my Miley Cyrus reference, and I feel like there's this whole wave of like musical artists from maybe like the early 2000s who at one point in time seemed like the artists that your preteen kids may have liked. So there was like maybe like One Direction or Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus, mm-hmm. you know, like, but then what you also watched happen was all of these artists like evolve beyond that and then like become like artists,
right,
you know, that are like that maybe are creating what is otherwise regarded as like that unique sound, or like branching off and like doing things that are not like, you know, like not to fault it in any way, because I mean, who doesn't like love when Party in the USA comes on, but like, you know, like now like whatever the next song you may hear from like Miley, it's like whoa, okay,
yeah,
this is like, this is like these have changed, this has evolved.
Yeah for sure. It's like there's like this weird stage where there's this initial popular, I think with like Miley Cyrus, she obviously had the big, like, huge popularity from Hannah Montana and the Disney Channel and stuff.
Yes.
And then it was like, okay, let's carry that momentum forward. We're gonna get some Party in the USA out there. That's good. Everyone's on board with you now being an artist outside of Disney. Cool. Now let's take a hard left turn into break away from Disney so that you can just be you.
Right, yes.
And then, like, things are gonna get real weird for a while.
Right. But then, like, you'll come out the other side. And it's like, I almost wonder whether or not this is like a known path.
I think, you know, it must be.
You know, it's like the Kessel Run from Star Wars. Mm, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, you're basically like traveling through like the amystical dark void of space or whatever. And it's like there are known ways to travel through it.
Right.
You know, or you can just take your chances and just sort of like lop off sections and see what happens.
Right. You know, you just got to get right through the middle of it. No problem at all.
Right. 12.
Yeah. 12 parsecs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't got time for this. Come on, get me a wrecking ball.
Yeah. nailed it. Yeah. Because everybody knows that Han Solo was definitely jamming out to Wrecking Ball.
If Han Solo isn't the Miley Cyrus of the Star Wars universe, then who is?
Brand new headcanon. Absolutely. I feel like they should redo the original Star Wars where Miley Cyrus plays Han Solo.
Boy, just gender swap the whole thing. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have no issues with this at all. I can completely see it working.
Totally on board. I'm here. Let's do it. Call up George Lucas.
There we go. All right. Yep. Give him a ring.
Oh, Ben, you know what though? I was thinking about how we were bad at music this weekend.
Okay.
Because
it's a truth fact.
It's a truth fact. But if there's like one been like consistent thing about music in my life, if like people ask me like who's my favorite artist for a long time, I would have said Jimmy Buffett.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard, but this past weekend, Jimmy Buffett passed away.
Yeah.
Super sad. And I remember hearing that news and being like, what? Like it really affected me like in the moment. And I was like, no. Certainly we could still go to another concert though, right? right? He's like, no, you can't.
I know.
Yeah, there was, I think a few years ago, Beth had actually bought me tickets to, I think the whole family or something was going to go. I don't know.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, to a Jimmy Buffett concert. And then me and you got invited to some other conference instead that we had to go to. I forget what it was.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Obviously, otherwise, engagement.
Super
yeah.
memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, we had to go do something else. Well, that was a bummer. But that was like always like oh, yeah, we'll just go to another one eventually. And now we can't, which is super sad.
I know. But, yeah. That was that. I had the exact same thought over the weekend because it was like, I remember that when we were a lot younger, you went to, it probably wasn't your first ever concert, but it had to be like one of the first few.
Yeah, sure, for sure, definitely. Yeah. Yes,
but like it seemed like it was just this like life experience that you had, and you're right, like I think it was one of those things where I was always like, well, I'll go,
right,
you know, like that's
I'll
that's,
have been to one,
yeah, like that's something I will still come to pass. But you're right, that was definitely like one of those where it was like a big part of I even remember before having my first CD player, I had our dad had a tape player with the song Cheeseburger in Paradise on it. And I think we were driving to Snowshoe mm-hmm. with dad.
Yep.
And I was sitting like in the back seat with like the like, you know, over here headphones on yeah. or whatever. And the only song I knew on like both sides of the cassette tape were Cheeseburger in Paradise. And nice. So it was like, you know, I kept like listening to it over and over and over again. And all I was hoping for was for them to, Like I always wanted like to be like, is it time for Cheeseburger in Paradise again? Because yeah. I don't know the rest of these.
Don't know the rest
but,
of them.
But then in the meantime, I like got to know a whole bunch of Jimmy Buffett songs.
Yeah, right.
Trying to listen to Cheeseburger in Paradise over Indeed. And over again. Because it was, you couldn't just like, you know, press like track back, you know, you'd have to like rewind and then it's like.
That's a great rewind sound. Thanks, I don't know if you guys are watching. Ben just did that with his mouth. Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah,
not,
that wasn't.
Not added in post.
Yeah. Ethan did not. Yeah. Port that in.
Oh, whew, yeah. Man, I can't. Nobody ever asked me to do it ever again. That was a one and done. This is like
you
one of those
like
things.
You're in the moment. Yeah. You knew the name of rewind.
Exactly. I knew that. I briefly held it. Enjoyed it.
I saw
and now
it's gone.
Gone. Yeah.
I can't see it anymore. I don't know what rewind sounds like anymore.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Man, the number of times this happened. There was from the movie The Incredibles, there's like a scene at the beginning where they're doing like the interviews with the various supers.
Yeah.
And like I think Helen says like leave cleaning up the city to the men. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Or something. And yes. I feel like we were recording like our favorite lines in Pixar movies or something like that. And I quoted it and you were like, oh my gosh, that was such a good Elastigirl. And it was like, ever since that moment, I've just lost it. I got like the literal yips related
right.
to,
now that you know, you can do it. You can't do it anymore. Yeah,
man. I swear this is like a thing too, though. Cause we were talking about the yips a lot, in the past week because we made a video
about Luna Lovegood and how she's always right and how she describes losers Lurgy and everyone's like, ah, what a silly thing no one's ever heard of. But like what she's describing is just the yips, which isn't like a magical malady of sorts. It's just a real thing that happens, which is also like an unexplained phenomenon. We're using that word a lot today in sports.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it even extends beyond sports because I feel like this can oftentimes happen to me where like I will have these like underlying objectives to have some feature of my personality like develop or like grow a skill at something or something like that, and then I feel like somebody will like present me with the accolade and then I will be like, oh no, I found like we've talked about this before with like training for a marathon where it's like you go and you're into it and you've got like your weekends and you're doing your training runs and you're doing all your stuff and you're like preparing and getting your shoes and like, you know, like learning about like hydration and like the and fueling and all the like whatever. You like you run and you run and you run and you run and then the big day comes and you slap your number on, you get out there and you get through the whole thing and boom. And then it's like the next weekend rolls about and it's like, are you going for a run again? And it's like, no siree, Bob.
Goal complete, done with that forever.
Goal complete, done with that forever. Well, and I swear this has happened to me with like a variety of different things in my life, but like one of them was like hosting parties, for example.
Yeah.
Like, for like a long time it was like I was like it was never like an objective I would have said out loud in my head or even like been knowledgeably pursuing. Mm-hmm. Was like the goal of being able to like host a good party,
right?
You know, and so like, but like, what I would do is like every time like a party would roll around, I'd be like, all right, like what can I come up with this time? Like, what would be interesting? What would be different? Like, what would be fun? What would be like a cool experience for people to have while they're here? Or something,
right?
And eventually, somebody I feel like presented me with the accolade of being a good party host, and it was almost like it was like crossing the marathon finish line, and it was just like, now I don't know if I can do it anymore. Like, it's almost like now that I've got the merit badge, I can't,
right?
Like, it's like, I don't know if this is, if this is like, you know, if you're an author and you write a best-selling series and then you try to go and like pen your next book and you're like, like, now I nothing I've done after that was ever as good as the one I did then,
right?
You know, and people are like, man, how could you have made that when that was so good and everything else is like less good after that? And it's like, I don't know.
I just had lightning in a bottle there, man. Yeah, it's like beforehand you had all of this, just like, yeah, all like the creativity and like the I don't know how it's gonna go. I'm just trying things here.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, and we'll see how they go. And then like all of a sudden it's like once you try these things and then they succeed, then there's suddenly like this pressure to like, I have to think of something just as good now, or I need to like have my stamp of approval on it. And it's less about like trying new things and just what and having fun, and more like trying to like recreate what you've already done.
Yeah. Exactly. And so it's like, I mean, and maybe it comes like with that additional layer of like pressure, like now that you wear the mantle, it's almost like people like know a characteristic about you, and then you've got like something that you're always trying to like live up to, and you can't tell if you're like achieving it in the end. I feel like clothing could be another one of these, like, mm-hmm. you know, like if you like, you're like, pick out your clothes or whatever and be like, man, you've got like a good sense of like fashion, like I like the way you dress or whatever, could you help me pick out a closet? It's like,
not at all, man. This is my style.
There's no way I could do that. Like, I don't, it's not like a skill. Like, I'm not like implementing like known knowledge. It's much more like taking a whole bunch of like peripheral information, dumping it into a meat grinder, and then trying to decipher the results that come out the other side. I have no basis whatsoever for like how I'm going about doing these things. It's like all feel all the time.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's like, I'm not like looking at, you know, outfit of the day Instagrams. I'm not reading fashion blogs or magazines or anything,
right?
It's like, I, you know, I watch The Bachelor sometimes, and those guys are probably chosen because they're dressing right, and a lot of times I think they're dressed badly, but they must not be, so I just sort of try like a lighter version of that, and maybe it works out sometimes.
But that is
how I'm fashioning.
Welcome to my world, the world of Red Bull. So anyway, but yeah, so that's I don't know how we got here, but we are here now.
That's how most of our conversations go.
It's true. How about a quick transition?
All right.
Okay, so I had to dig myself out. My brain like ran off the edge of the cliff, and it was like, I have nowhere else to go. There's no more wheels underneath my tracks anymore.
All right.
There's no more tracks underneath my wheels anymore.
There you go.
Not wheels underneath my tracks.
Yeah.
Who travels with tracks?
Trains.
Yeah. But those are still tracks under wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. So earlier I had said that I felt like a conversation could go a couple different ways. One of them was sort of this thought about like early bands, pop bands, stuff like that, and sort of like how they can grow and evolve and eventually become like proper, like artists, you know, of a sort, which is not to say that they're not necessarily artists anyway, but there is this like prevailing opinion that I feel like comes to be known, even if it's not like understood by anyone. And I think that the dislike of Nickelback could possibly be something that you could group into this categorization, like where it's like, does anybody actually know, or do they know that it's the correct opinion to have about this band? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like when you listen to it, are you savvy enough to actually be able to like pick apart what doesn't work or does work, or like, you know, the lyrics not being good or are good, or, you know, any of those types of things.
Right. Like if you're just, you know, if you've got your, you know, your several Nickelback CDs, you're sitting there jamming out and you're like, this is great. Like, would you eventually arrive at the conclusion, like, maybe this isn't so good because of this?
Yeah, exactly.
Or
yeah.
Or is it more the case that like you are informed that it's less good, and then all of a sudden you're like, now you're jaded when you listen to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I have one small theory there, and part of it is almost that like it's it could arguably be compared to like vanilla ice cream, which is sort of like, it's like in this, I'm going to make a sweeping declaration here, and I realize it doesn't actually apply to everybody, but like the idea is simply that like everybody loves vanilla ice cream, but it's nobody's favorite flavor of ice cream, you know? And I feel like there's a chance that that's just like, that that is just simply like what Nickelback ultimately comprises. So it's like, it's hard, like nobody probably dislikes them actually, just like listening to a song. It's just sort of like, in order to like branch out and like have like your people, you know, it's like you gotta like, you gotta throw whatever that ingredient is in, that all of a sudden it's sort of like, oh yeah, no, pistachios, you know, it's like, it's not for everybody, but that almost makes it for the people who it is for that much more for them,
right? Yeah, you know? Like no, yeah, no, like vanilla is like, it's no one's favorite, but it's also basically a component of every ice cream.
Yes. But anyway, so that's actually, once again, still not even the point I'm trying to make. Apparently, okay. I just have a lot to say about Nickelback.
I guess so. I've been putting a lot of thoughts down on this.
You know, it feels like a safe topic, which is why I'm using it. Like I feel like I can talk about it, and I don't think that I'm offending anybody. I don't feel like I feel like it's like an example that's like very well known. So it's like I'm using it as like my touch stone for like a lot of things,
right? Because, and it's not based on some sort of like canceled culture sort of situation.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like all right, let's just stay on like a nice little safe piece of land to stand on. For what it's worth, I also don't personally have anything against Nickelback, for clarity. So there, that's not, it's not like a, it's not even an opinion that I share. I'm just so aware of it, and
it's,
I do,
just an example.
It's an example, yeah. But I remember when I heard it for the first time, being like almost taken aback a little bit, being like,
taking a nickel back.
Yeah. I would even go full taking a dime back.
Like, yeah. Wait a minute.
wait. No. I had a mix CD with a couple of Nickelback songs on there. It added to the CD nicely.
Right.
No, but what I think it is possibly is I have frequently, like lumped certain kinds of views or opinions like this into what I have regarded as what I call internet culture. And what's always kind of interesting about that is like, I feel like it's just sort of like this like, coagulation of a term in my mind that's sort of like that maybe is like the boiled off remains of like what the internet is capable of doing through its extensive examination of any particular topic or idea, is that like you can eventually get like to the bottom of, like you've evaporated all the water out of it, and all
now
that is left is
the reduction at the bottom.
Yeah, you've got the reduction at the bottom. It's a thick slurry sludge that is like that is like the conclusion. And again, so to use the Nickelback as the example, it seems like that is like one of those things. Like it became this very prominent band. They were top 40s. They were all over the place. Like it was like a big center of discussion, what have you, which meant that it invited a lot of outside discussion, which meant that it was examined from every possible angle, and what the ultimate conclusion somehow, some way, across all people was that it was like uncool or something like that.
Right, like Nickelback bad.
Yes, yeah. Like that's, and people have landed there even if they don't necessarily know, like even if they can't explain to you how they as an individual got there. And to me, I would describe that as an opinion that is learned rather than like discovered.
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yes. It's like you didn't wake up today disliking Nickelback or anything like that. You might have even been a fan of it ahead of time, but you have now been on the internet and the internet has informed you that Nickelback bad. So now you're like, oh, okay. So if I want to be in the know and appear to know what I'm talking about, I need to adopt the opinion of Nickelback bad.
And it's also, it's such a generally agreed upon viewpoint on something that it's like a safe touchstone. So like again, there's a little Name of the Wind reference for you, but like complaining about the roads is something that like everybody inside of the town of Noir like knows to do. So it's like anybody can complain about the roads, anybody can complain about like the rising prices of taxes and stuff like that. Exactly. And it's sort of like, it's like, oh yes, like we all feel this way. And it's like, it's a very easy way to go into a room of a group of people, all of whom have their own respective opinions, and find common ground.
Right.
And so this was like sort of my big thought here was I was thinking about this over the weekend and I was thinking about like this term of like internet culture. And, you know, culture is something that at least if I were to attempt to understand how and where and why it comes from is a collective group of people who typically and historically have probably resided in either like semi, I would say they spawned from geographic based positions.
Sure.
Like chances are you live in a part of the world where you share similar kinds of like struggles and celebrations and, you know, like yeah. viewpoints and
which,
stuff like yeah, that.
Which are all generated by where you live.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would say that the great expansion of that probably on some level came through religion at some point in time. And I would say that like religion was then able to like take some of the ideologies that may have been like, you know, formed in specific areas and then brought to other areas to be like shared.
Mm-hmm.
And if like where those ideas were then brought to, that it was you were capable of expanding it beyond whatever its original origin point physically was.
Right.
And okay. So when I was thinking about internet culture over the weekend, I was like, can the internet have developed at least in some capacity that exact thing? Like if the internet is a safe haven in a very specific way for a large enough number of people who have all found themselves at the gathering points of these particular ideas, again, Nickelback,
mm-hmm.
uncool or something.
Right.
Like, is it the case that like you actually have like a living, breathing culture that has been like formed with no geographic basis whatsoever?
I mean, absolutely.
But,
yeah.
Like, but that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Like that has not happened before.
Right.
Like, like in human history, like it's like that is witnessing like a brand new kind of thing be formed. And like, even like when the internet was created, it's like, could anyone have even known like I don't even know if you would call it the ramifications, the benefits, the something of the fact that because all of a sudden, like every single person who maybe like every single town might have a Ben, for example. And if I can go on the internet and find all of the other Bens from all of the other towns when we never would have crossed paths anyway, all of a sudden it's like I can find all of them.
Yeah.
We can all come together and be the legion of Bens of the internet.
I mean, I think that's pretty much just like, I think it's been happening basically since like the moment the internet started. Like,
okay.
You know, there have been internet, I mean, like this is like why it spreads the way it does, because like even when all you could do was post on like a you know, community bulletin board, there was a community of people who were all checking that bulletin board for what the latest updates were.
Right.
Or, you know, like I remember, I mean, there was culture to like Yahoo chat rooms and stuff.
True.
You know, you'd go in there and it's like, you got to know the lingo. You got to know ASL. You got to know how to talk to the people. You got to know, you know, you got to
ASL.
ASL, right.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know,
for a second, like, I thought that was like an internet based language, but like,
that's just age, sex, location.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
But no, so, and here's the thing though, is that like I think probably on some level what you might have, and this would be like my expansion of the idea as it's coming to my brain, is that like there are like little colonies that could form of groups of people that like have similar, you know, like similar viewpoints and stuff like that. But like the greater question is like, what is the prevailing, like what is like the big one that permeates, that sort of like reaches like all the far corners, that like even members who are then members of lots of other ones may also like ultimately subscribe to like the overarching, like the internet culture.
Yeah,
like what is the internet culture, the one that has amassed as sort of like the one that is able to dictate such ideas as our Nickelback example?
Oh man, I don't know. I would know. That is a really difficult question to answer on the spot. It's like, I don't know. I feel like what my brain immediately goes to is like Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
Where there's just like a ton. And it seems like to me at that point, the culture is almost just like tribalism. Like,
yeah.
You know, where just like the culture is, I have a side and it's right and your side's wrong and both sides feel that way.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, like on some level, and again, this is, it's possibly the wrong terminology, but like, I mean, the idea of a tribe in particular is again, what I would describe as the original, like the baseline for where culture evolves from in mm-hmm. the first place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, you have to have a small group of people who sense of like ideologies and viewpoints and values and stuff like are the same in such a way that they can then expand and expand and expand and expand and expand in mm-hmm. all the various different directions. So, So I, and I'm not asking for like the answer, cause I don't think that the answer is known. I don't think that this is like something that like, that you would just have like in your back pocket and be like, oh yes, of course you're speaking of flip.
This
thing,
yeah.
You know, but I suspect that at some point in the future, there will be a name. Like, will, I think eventually it will be named.
It will be named. Yeah. Like, oh, that's like very internet culture.
It's very, yeah. But the thing though, too, is that like, I think because it is largely, like untagged or something at the moment, it's like, you know, if people have like follow a different set of like ideologies than yourself, but you know that like the reason for your differences is because you follow this set of ideologies and I follow this set of ideologies. I actually do think that there's a certain amount of, and this is again sweeping declaration and not in all examples, but like I think that there is the ability for respect to be formed mm-hmm. Across different cultures to sort of like recognize like, oh, this is part of something. Like, even though I don't like do this particular practice, I can recognize and respect the fact that yours does.
Mm-hmm.
And I, that's why I almost feel like it could at some point help for it to like be a known phenomenon, because then like it could be the case that like you, like if somebody like were to like express something that like deeply fit into, you know, whatever unnamed internet culture ends up being, it's sort of like, oh, like I recognize this is an important value for your culture and I do respect you for that. Like, mm-hmm. but then it feels less like you need to have the argument associated with the difference of viewpoint.
Okay.
Which is what I ultimately would be striving for.
Okay.
Is a world where there's a greater amount of respect and understanding for difference of opinion.
Basically. I mean, it seems like that's not what I feel like a lot of internet culture is striving for, is like a lot of just like general respect for other people's like beliefs and stuff like that. But it seems like often the way it's gone about these days is like respect people like or else, which is also like its own form of like disrespect, which is like, I think, you know, I think getting through that is a phase we're in right now.
Yeah. Like yeah. Maybe that's like, we're part of the growing pains are coming through. Cause I mean, that's like one of those things where I'd really like to think that for the most part, people are coming from like a really good place, you know, they're like, they're trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But, I do also know, and have seen it feel like, possibly people coming from the right place and not necessarily coming across as like being kind or patient or understanding or like willing to help.
Yeah.
It's more like layered in condescension.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thought policing.
Sure. Yeah.
Is what I see a lot of. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we can now change the subject to something less heavy.
Okay.
But yeah, this has been like one of those things that's been rattling around in my brain. And I was like, I just thought about it for so long. And I was like, you know what? Why wouldn't this massive digital gathering of human beings actually be spawning something brand new, something we've never seen before?
Right.
And so I found that to be very interesting. But in the meantime, we can transition.
Do it. Popcorn culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ben, I learned over this weekend that I think I massively misunderstood pickleball, but in actually a really cool way.
You know what? This feels like a little bit too deep.
Yeah.
For today's episode. Yeah. I don't think I can get into...
You can't get into pickleball culture.
I think it's a little too divisive.
A little bit. sorry. I would say it's the exact opposite.
You know what? Let me flip the script on you. This is a little bit too light. It's a little bit too light. You know, like, I mean,
I don't think
know,
so. I think it actually has to do with cultures and stuff.
No way. Okay. To be honest with you, when I saw you at the show notes, I was like, I cannot wait to hear what this is. So, all kidding aside, tell me what you didn't know about pickleball and how this is actually for the
better. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the full story. Okay, so I promise we'll get there at some point. But if you'll recall, previously on the pop here, we've discussed pickleball because we played it once upon a time at when we did our Duck in a Cup weekend.
We had
a blast doing it.
Yes. Yeah. Duck in a Cup weekend, the Airbnb location that we had booked was, I think, primarily people book it because it has a private pickleball court, which was just a literal happy accident for us, and we ended up sort of like tinkering around.
Right, but pickleball, of course, is the fastest growing sport in the nation.
People love to quote this to
people
me.
People love to tell you that, and I mean, I think it must be true. But I'll tell you how I arrived at my new decision here, because I think last time we discussed it, we were like, what makes it so like popular? Like, why do people, what is driving people towards the sport? And our theory was that like, it's basically like tennis, but it's tennis that you can be good at a lot faster.
Sure. Yep.
You know, it's like adult ping pong, and it's typically played with like four people. So I don't know, you use a wiffle ball, it's a lot easier to get to the ball. That was our theory. It's a very approachable sport.
Yeah.
Which, as I think I understand it, it was like developed initially for like senior citizens or something at like retirement communities, because like it doesn't require as much movement.
Yeah,
but if you can move, it's a really fun game.
Right, like also it's on.
Also, it let's go.
Anyway,
that's my light background history on pickleball and like why we thought it was good. So anyway, here recently we've been Luke has just started school and stuff, and so we're about to start the twins in gymnastics and stuff, and you know, we have some friends who are gonna do, you know, they're hosting like a once a week little like soccer coaching session thing, not like for a team or anything, just like come we'll teach your kids about soccer.
That's
like
amazing.
That.
Yeah.
And so there's just like springing up what seems like opportunities for, and it's like that time of life where it's like, Luke, do you want to sign up and do something? Do you want to like try soccer or basketball or whatever?
Yeah.
And one of the things Beth had recommended or suggested to him a few times was karate, because it just seemed like maybe it would be a fun thing for him to go do. Kick, you know.
I could totally see Luke thriving inside of the I don't know if like rigid is the right terminology, but like the
discipline, the respect.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are things I could see him being like, yes.
Let's go. I understand how it is. I know what the rules are. I do the things.
Right.
So anyway, we brought that up to him a couple of times. But anytime we suggest that, there was a couple of times where we were kind of like, you know, bringing up ideas like, what do you, you know, is there anything you want to try? You want to take lessons at this or whatever? And he had brought up, and I have no idea why, but randomly tennis a couple of times.
Okay.
And I was just like, I don't know where you're getting tennis from, because no one in our entire family, I don't think, has ever, you know, seriously played tennis at all.
I don't think I've played a competitive game of tennis in my entire life.
Yeah, my experience with tennis was that like dad had tennis rackets and I assumed he had played a few games. We played racquetball a bunch, like when we were in high school. I don't know if we were any good, probably not, but we certainly played a lot of it.
Yeah. What I largely remember was the strategy was just wail on the hard rubber ball just as hard as you can.
Yeah. I think that is mostly what we did. I think that what was crazy is you'd go watch like these more experienced racquetball players go, and like that was not always their strategy. It was always like, you know, how quickly can you get that ball to double bounce and stuff?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It seemed like, you know, we would go in and the ball would be like 30 feet over your head half the time, and then you'd like watch like guys who were like good at it, and the ball would be like 7 inches above the ground essentially always.
Always, yeah. That ball's not moving. It is hard to get to every single time. They got it dialed in. You know, you can only dream of being so good at racquetball someday. We'll see. But anyway, it occurred to me that, so like he brought up tennis, I was like, you want to take tennis lessons? And he just seemed like immediately like, I don't know, but I was like, oh, maybe, I don't know. It was like, it occurred to me that like going, like he's never held a tennis racket or like been on a tennis court or done anything towards hitting a tennis ball or anything.
Right.
And I was like,
yes,
maybe he's heard about it. He's interested. Maybe like lessons is not the first step. Maybe what we got to do is like, we're just going to go get some rackets and some balls and just like, just have fun with it. Just get out there and see if you even like it.
I love it.
So, this past Monday was Labor Day. And so, we got up and I got Luke down there and I was like, all right. But me and Beth are trying to figure out what to do. And I was like, why don't we go get a tennis racket for Luke and we'll just buy a bunch of balls and we'll go to a tennis court. and we'll just like let him run around and hit as many as he wants and just see if he like likes it, and then maybe he'll, you know, be a little more interested in he'll have a better idea,
right,
about if he wants to do something else, you know.
Yeah,
which whatever he wants to do, I don't care.
Right. No, but I think that's sort of the way to go about it. It's just like essentially having that total free for all situation where it's just like you're not like being put on the spot. It's just sort of like get acclimated and comfortable with like the utensils.
Right. Yeah. Like here, you get a brand new thing and you get to go whack balls. So let's just go do it.
Yeah.
So we went out. We went out to the Play It Again Sports. We found a little racket for him. He was so excited to pick it out.
For sure.
And then the other thing about tennis is, like, I remember telling him, I was like, whatever you get in, I was basically telling him, like, if you decide whatever you get into at all, I will help you do it. You know, we will get any of the supplies you need. If you play tennis, you know, I'll get you a racket, I'll get you some balls. And I remember he asked me, like, how many balls would you get? And I was like, I don't know. And I'm like thinking, like, you know, like if you're into tennis and want to go practice it, I'm like, oh, like 100, you know, because tennis isn't like soccer. You know, you don't need just one ball. You got to keep going over and over and over and over.
I was thinking though about like the, like coming like the tubes and packs of three. I was like, Jay's going to end up buying 33 tubes of tennis balls.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, no. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get there someday.
Right.
But so we went down. I bought like 10 tennis balls, you know.
Nice.
Seemed
nice,
like
nice.
Enough to start with. And yeah.
Good jumping off point.
Yeah, good jumping off point. We got all of our balls there. I brought my old racquetball rackets with us so the twins would have something to whack the balls with themselves, because
nice.
I'm sure they were just gonna sit there and watch Luke and be like, okay, I guess we'll just watch. But we got all the stuff, we're in the car, and you can tell like Luke's really excited to go try it out, and we're trying to think. It was the thing about this past weekend though was that it was about, I think, 5 million degrees outside,
something like that. Yeah,
it was uncomfortably hot outside, and so we're trying to think of like what's the shadiest tennis court around, because all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I know where there's like 10 different tennis courts in Roanoke.
They do seem to be everywhere.
Yeah, they do seem to be everywhere.
For me to not know anybody that plays tennis.
Exactly. This is the thing. I'm like, me and Beth were talking about this. The tennis used to be just like way more popular, like, because there's tennis courts everywhere.
Is tennis like Subway?
I think this was my theory, is that tennis courts are like having a rock wall
on the
at your college campus. It's like,
you're,
you know,
right.
What? You gotta have the rock wall, because that means you can put it on the brochure. Because when you put it on the brochure, people can imagine themselves going to this college and climbing on the rock wall. Like, will they ever do it? Absolutely not.
Nobody uses
maybe
the rock wall.
Once. Yeah. No one uses the rock wall, which is blasphemy, because rock climbing is so fun. But like, this is the thing. Like, you gotta put a tennis court there at your park because it's such a feature. It's like, yeah, we built tennis courts. They're here. They're huge. They're awesome. Now you can play tennis. But do you, like, rarely? Yeah, I don't know people. I don't know no one who plays tennis, but not like regularly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, so not that. But that being said, tennis is a super cool sport.
Oh, but, yeah, sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, we're trying to think where's the shadiest one, and we land on a park sort of near our old house where we're like, oh yeah, it's next to like a hiking trail, so there'll be some shade there, that'll be good. And we pull up there and there are people already there playing some pickleball on the court.
Okay.
Ahead of time. And I guess one of the nets has now been converted from tennis to pickleball so that you can do this exact thing. And we roll up and I'm like, at first I'm thinking like, okay, it's just a few people playing, but it's not just a couple people playing. There's four people playing, but then there's like six people sitting around the fence, like inside the court with like a cooler and drinks and like chairs and umbrellas.
It's like a tourney or something?
No, it's just, this is one group. There's only four people playing.
Okay.
And I was like, man, these people seem like they have gone like really big just to watch their friends play pickleball. Like, they have brought a lot of stuff. You know, it's not like, it's not even the kids. It's not like, oh yeah, everyone come on, the kids are going to play pickleball. We'll just hang out while they, you know, get their energy, you know, running. This is all adults, you
okay,
know,
okay.
Everyone out there. And I'm like, man, I cannot believe the effort put into to the pickleball here. Because it's such a small group, I'm like, the last thing I want to do is unleash my three little, you know, minions onto the court who are just going to be running around full speed whacking tennis balls in every direction.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm like, so this is the shady court, but there's another one like less than 5 minutes from here. We're just going to go to that one instead, you know, whatever.
Right.
And as I'm driving, I'm like, I really hope there's no one on the other court, because there is no way the kids are going to be cool with me going to a third tennis court, because they've observed the whole situation. They're like, I thought we were here. What are we doing?
Right. Yes. You're on thin ice almost.
Yeah, I'm, yeah. Ar- I'm already on thin ice. I'm like, I'm just hard committed to wherever we land next. So we go to different tennis courts. And we get out and we get everyone out of the car. We walk over and Ben, now these, what we arrive at are previously tennis courts. Now all pickleball.
Yeah.
All pickleball courts. Okay. Now, Ben, let me tell you, if there was one group playing at this one, there were six full courts of pickleball happening here.
No way. Okay.
If I thought the other people had gone big for pickleball, those people had no idea what they were doing. Okay. I was like flabbergasted by it. I mean, there was a very similar setup. There were people in chairs. There was, someone had a grill. There were pop-up tents. Ben, there were people with guitars and banjos and ukuleles playing music. Okay.
What is this?
I know.
Is this pickleball culture?
This is exactly what I'm thinking. Is that like the pickleball is the new block party? It is like I walked in and I was like, what is going on? Like I was like, is this like a tournament? It's like, nope. This is just people hanging out, is what it is.
Man.
And it's like, this is it. Everyone's out there playing, but when they're done, they run over to all their buddies and just grab a drink, get some food, head back out. It's just like a hangout thing. And it's like I would have thought once, if I just run into it once, I would have been like, well, that was crazy. But like twice in such quick succession and such a similar setup, I was like, this is a thing. This is the thing. This is the sauce behind the magic, because what's happening here is like, I don't know if this is anyone else's experience or if this is what it's actually like, but I was like, this is why pickleball is a thing, because it's like a block party.
Because everybody can just like gather around.
It's a gathering point is what it is. Yeah, so clearly I couldn't get back in the car with my kids for the tennis.
Right, right.
Fortunately, next to all of the very in-use pickleball courts was an abandoned basketball court. And I was like, you know what? We don't even need nets. We're not doing anything. We can barely hit the ball. 10 yards. So
you're just going.
So we took over the basketball court and the kids just ran around and whacked balls and it was a total blast.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was very fun. I was like, I would like stand like maybe like 5 feet away from Luke and just toss him a ball and be like, just whack it, man. And you know, the great thing about tennis for kids is that the racket's so big, it's so hard to miss.
Right. Right.
You know, like you swing that, you're going to hit it and it's going to go somewhere.
So do you have any prodigies in training?
Oh man. I don't know. I mean, Luke was having a blast with it. And then, I wasn't expecting Nick and Nate to be really interested at all. Cause I was like, it's, you know, a little more like coordination that I think they're used to, or that 3-year-olds in general are used to. But Nick, they both wanted to come, you know, like have me throw the ball and then have them whack it. And I think Nick would still be out there whacking them if I stood out there with him and just tossed them tennis balls all day.
Dude, yeah, you sent the family a video and I was like blown away by Nick in particular, because he crouched into like a batter's stance.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know what Jay told them in order to like get into this positioning, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like not a whole lot.
He just sort of found it. Yeah. It was really funny. So that was, so earlier in the day, we were at the tennis courts and everyone just ran around. It was a million degrees. They all got really, you know, hot, sweaty, and came home. We all took naps. That was good. But then we get up afterwards and, you know, I realize that while we're there, they're not hitting the balls very far, which is surprising because, you know, if you've ever hit a tennis ball with a tennis racket, it's not hard to send it flying.
Sure.
But they're at that age. So I was like, we could probably just do this in the backyard. And so at one point, Luke was like, can we just go do more tennis in the backyard? And I was like, let's go. Absolutely, we can do that. I'll stand out there all day. Like, I had such a taste of like what, like this like 0 to 60 mindset all of a sudden.
Right.
And I was just like, oh man, you guys haven't really been interested in anything yet. But I was like, oh boy, this feels dangerous. Where like, if you guys are into something, I feel like I'm going to be so behind it. Like, whew.
I know.
I was like, Luke, there is no amount of tennis matches I won't come watch, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
like
right,
there's,
yeah.
I will watch you play a bazillion of them. Let's go. If you want to get into tennis, I'm there. Have I ever played? No. Do I know the rules? Vaguely. I don't know why it goes 0, 15, 30, 40.
It seems strange that it would go from 0, 15, 30, 40.
Weird rules, but I will be, you know, I could get into tennis tomorrow, you know.
Right.
Let's
right,
go.
Right. I know. I think, this is the thing I think about both of us. Like, because I would say we were a pretty big activities family.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, I think we were talking this morning just like over coffee as people were kind of filing into the office. But like our parents, for example, have probably brought their bikes on every single vacation that we've been on our whole lives.
Just ever.
Just like, you know, it's like packing the car for a Carlin family vacation was, I mean, sometimes it even involved like mounting kayaks to the roof and then trying to squeeze like the bicycles on either side. So like you would have two bikes and two kayaks like stacked on each other on top of the minivan that was then otherwise packed to the brim with five human beings and just like all of the associated luggage and other things.
Yes.
And the thing I was telling Ethan was like, I'm pretty sure maybe the only one we didn't bring bikes on was our family trip to Disney World in 1999, our only trip to Disney as kids, wherein our parents ran a half marathon.
Yeah.
So it was definitely like, I think growing up doing activities, like I think for the most part, we did like year round, like recreational sports, like sports, like
a lot of soccer and basketball and then soccer again.
Yeah.
And then like summer swim teams and all that.
Oh, swim team.
Yeah.
My absolute least favorite and mom's favorite too. Ugh. Yeah. it was like so sad. Cause like, this was like the one where I think mom finally was like, oh my gosh, like I love this activity and I love that we do it as a family. And I was like, I hate it so much.
Swimming's hard.
Swimming is hard. I didn't like not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
And I also didn't like letting mom down. So there was that too. But I think it was okay. I think she understood. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think though it has primed us as adults for like I think you would like we've been so excited for the prospect of our kids being able to get into activities and then just being like, let's do them all the time.
Let's do it.
Like, I'm all about this. Yeah. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah. Whatever you want, you have my full support.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I was like, it doesn't have to be sports at all. You know, if he wants to do music or art or theater, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Whatever the activity is, it's like, we can. Yeah. It's like, that's totally fine. But I think like, just this very morning, I got up and I was having coffee before I left the house as well. Two cup of coffee morning type of day. And Alice's mom got Addie like one of those power wheels. It's and she found one at Goodwill that they thought did not work. And it turned out like one wheel is like the drive and then the other wheel is just free spinning in the back. And they had just been like assembled wrong. And so whoever had originally purchased this power wheel, because it was like in pristine condition, must have just put the wheels on wrong and assumed that it didn't work. And then Allie was like,
switch
the other way. And then it worked. But anyway, so Addie does not like, we put her in it, started driving it right away. And it kind of spooked her a little bit. She was like a little bit like thrown off and scared.
Yeah,
like,
so, whoa.
But she really likes the car. She likes turning the key, the ignition. There's like a button that will like open both of the doors. There's switches that'll turn like the front lights on and stuff like that. And so like this morning, Alice came over and I've been sitting with Addie for probably like 20 minutes just as she would get in and out of the car, in and out of the car, in and out of the car. She didn't want to be pushed in the car. She didn't want the car to move. All she wanted to do was like get the car, pull the door shut, get out the other door, get back, like walk around, get back in. And she was like, you are way more patient than I would be in this situation. But I feel like it's similar to what you're saying, where it's like in my head, I'm like, I honestly really don't mind. Like she's just having so much fun, like doing whatever she's doing.
Yeah. I did have to like kind of like fight that impulse a few times, like where like it's just like, you know, you're like, do you want me to toss them to you? And, you know, they do it and it'd be like, they're holding it sideways or something. It'd be like, why don't you try holding it like this way? And this way you could do it a little bit better. And it'd be like, you know what? There's no reason to put any pressure on it. They're just having fun.
Exactly.
It's like, just do your thing.
I think that's the best introduction, like the best way to introduce somebody to an activity though, is like, just to sort of like they need to be having fun with it, because if they're not having fun with it from the very beginning, then it's not likely that they're going to like eventually start having fun with it.
Right.
Like,
you know,
it's like if it starts being stressful, it'll probably always continue to be stressful.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to just be like immediately like correcting everything they do right away. Cause like no one wants that.
Not at all. Not at all. So anyway, all I can assume is that again, our, popcorn recultured,
we'll be back. Look at this. This is when the boys started playing tennis.
Can you believe it? The day that we talked about it.
The day we talked about it. What a day it was. Yeah. No.
This is my new favorite idea, by the way. Yeah. Like, I am so jazzed. Like, for 65-year-old us to, like, literally, we will start making a podcast. And it'd be like, we made a podcast for our 30s. And now that we're in our 60s, we're going back.
Listening to it. And,
We're telling tales of, like, where it went and how it happened. And, yeah, so tune in, be sure to set the bell for
Popcorn Recultured.
Popcorn Recultured.
Yeah, will they even have podcasts then? Who
knows?
Yes,
they will. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there will be, you know what? There will be audio only entertainment.
Spoken word entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah. There will be something. It might not be radio, it might not be podcast, but it will just be the next thing.
Right.
If nothing else.
So anyway, if you'd like to be the first to hear the breaking news of Popcorn Recultured 30 years from now, be sure to support us on Patreon now. It's gonna be patreon.com/popcornculture, where there's lots of cool different perks, including After the Final Pop. Which is it's an extra 15 to 20 minutes of Jay and I just continuing to discuss things we either did or didn't get to in the main episode. Sometimes we go completely off the rails. We had an entire 30-minute episode once that was just about bubblegum, which was just a hooting and hollering good time.
It
so
was.
You really can't go wrong with it. Again, it's going to be patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, guys, as a reminder, we're doing a live episode of The Pop in person where you can come to Roanoke, Virginia. It is absolutely free, by the by. We will be performing at Go Fest or Go Outside Festival here in Roanoke, Virginia. It is Saturday, October 16th. We officially have a time. It's 11 a.m. in the morning.
October 14th.
I said the wrong date. Good save. Yep. Good save. Good thing you're here. October 14th, and it's a Saturday, 11 a.m. We will be there doing a live episode of The Pop.
Free.
Those are the buzzwords. For SEO, just
there
keywords.
You go, right.
Yeah, that's what we're doing there. Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the show. And until next time,
pop, pop.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.